I'm wondering if you've heard the joke about the classroom full of kindergartners who was asked to bring in a symbol of their faith. So the Jewish child brought in a menorah. Catholic child brought in a rosary. And aren't you so curious, the Methodist child pulled out her parents' Corningware dish, complete with a snack for the whole class. It's often jokingly said that Methodists like to feed people. It's a true joke. Indeed, Christians are called to feed people, and we take that seriously. We have good reason to take it seriously. We learned it from Jesus. Our gospel lesson today picks up on the second half of the story we began last week in John 21, where Jesus appears to a collection of the disciples from the beach and feeds them breakfast. Good example here, over breakfast, initiates an uncomfortable conversation with the disciple Peter. Three times he asks, "Do you love me?" And all three times Peter responds in the affirmative. Each of the times, Jesus reacts with the directive either to feed or tend his sheep. We hear in the gospel lesson Peter's frustration at this line of questioning and Jesus' seemingly razor-sharp focus on feeding these sheep. We could certainly have a conversation this morning about the original languages and talk about multiple kinds of love and how it took three times for them to be talking about the same Greek word. But this morning, I want to raise the question, how do we feed Jesus' sheep? First of all, I appreciate Eileen's message as some context that throughout the Bible, people are often the sheep that are referred to. Memorably, in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, you and I as the sheep. Certainly in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the people are these sheep. In parables and in illustrations, always, sheep are people. I read this week, quotably, "Sheep, when they're left alone, tend to wander off, get in tight spots, tumble over cliffs, and fall prey to predators." Yikes. After centuries, it goes on to say, of human-directed selection and husbandry, any survival skills sheep might have had are bred out of descendants. Sheep of a flock need someone to follow. Doesn't that sound an awful lot like us? Sheep, that refers to all of us. Those of us who could say with some confidence, "I've never wandered off. I haven't tumbled off of any cliffs." Alongside those of us who could tell some really good stories of where our lives went just slightly, perhaps, astray. "Feed my sheep," Jesus says to Peter. Over the last 200 years, the Big C Church has struggled with this question. Are we feeding people physically, or are we feeding people spiritually? A portion of the large church has said the most important work that we do is to feed people here and now. Make sure folks get their daily bread. To feed the body is to feed the soul. Hungry bellies can't hear the good news of the gospel. A different portion of the church has said feeding the hungry is temporal. The eternal issue is the feeding of souls. To teach people about the salvific power of Jesus is to look beyond the here and now and embrace the eternal. With the hope of Jesus, one can sustain ultimate hope beyond any daily nourishment. These two perspectives have often been at odds with one another. I have to say, this morning, church, I think we've gotten it wrong. The answer is not feed bodies or feed souls. The answer is both. We are a people who are called to intimately care for the physical needs and the concerns of both our bodies and the bodies of others. We need to feed people physically. You all know there are hungry and food insecure here and around the world who need our care and our compassion, our commitment to justice and solidarity. We must do this, however, alongside caring for one another in spiritual and redemptive ways as well. Our souls cannot be forgotten in the feeding of our bodies. God does not call us to care for one over the other, but reminds us that they are intertwined, that they are wrapped together. We see this most clearly in the person of Jesus, who was born as an infant in flesh, who after his death, it was important to see him as resurrected, as eating fish on the beach. We are reminded that our physical needs do not supersede our spiritual ones. God calls us body, mind, and soul all together, seeking the risen one. So, how are we feeding the sheep? As a church, as I thought about this, we regularly feed folks through our emergency food pantry. Each week in the bulletin, alongside your monetary giving, you see bags of food that have been given to those who are in need in our community. And this comes from your generous and consistent donations. Regularly, Karen Hruz, our emergency food coordinator, writes up a shopping list you can pick right up and take with you when you go shopping so that you can help in these ways. And many of you do just that. We add in giant gift cards to help out with the things that are fresh and the things that add protein. Additionally, we as a church contribute to The Bridge, our ministerium-sponsored food distribution center for sustainable ways of impacting our community. As a congregation, we feed people through the community cafe. Once a month, inviting folks of the community here in this space for meal and for fellowship. Good food is shared, pleasant atmosphere, relationships are nurtured, feeding others. We could easily check this off of our list and feel like we've reached our obligation. But I have to share with you, friends, I think that God is calling us to a ministry of feeding more, a way of rethinking what are the needs of our community and how are we addressing them in sustainable and new ways. Can we imagine that God might be calling us to feed people in our community? Imagine with me a moment what it would look like if we prepared food here in our kitchen and took it, for example, to Luther House and fed folks in a place where they were most comfortable. imagine what it would look like if we prepared food here and fed folks at the garage, a place within our community where there's already gathering that's happening, and we can be a part of the good work that God is doing here in this place. God continues to call us and move among us. Now I imagine we, like Peter, might first want to respond with some frustration. I'm already following God, but perhaps, like Peter, we need to spend some time in prayer and discernment, in observation of our community, and in listening to God's heart. Listening to the heart of God who feeds people physically and spiritually. As a church, we've sought to feed people spiritually. We've taught Sunday schools and Bible studies, special series and vacation Bible school. We've encouraged folks to go deeper with United Methodist Women's Studies and all church foci. I celebrate that we have Sunday school classes. Do y'all see yourself in some of these pictures? You look good. Just saying. I celebrate that we have Sunday school classes in which relationships are maintained and there is room for new folks to find space as well. I give thanks to God for teachers and for students who come expecting to learn, expecting to grow, expecting God to show up when they gather. And over the years, we've sought that kind of spiritual growth in our community. I think we find ourselves in a season in the life of our community in which there's a deeper hunger for wisdom and for study. To know a Christian world view, to understand the changing world around us. We find ourselves hungry for a spiritual food that satisfies, not the prepackaged faith off the shelf or warmed up half-truths our culture teaches us about Jesus. In the coming weeks, we'll be discussing and discerning where is God calling us to go deeper in our faith, to grow spiritually, to be fed spiritually so that we can feed others as well. We would be remiss if we began to believe we only need to be fed physically and everything else would fall into place. We need to feed and develop our leaders so they can feed and develop those in our community. What would it look like if we offered small groups that walked together through the challenges of life, giving each other support across life transitions that happen across different generations? Groups who came to know one another very well, who could tell the stories of that one or this one's life. What would it look like if we had invitational groups for folks who wanted to answer questions about faith without setting foot inside of the church, weren't quite ready for worship, but were real curious about how God was moving in their lives? What would it look like to have short-term studies in addition to our ongoing Sunday school classes to answer some of the questions we haven't even managed to wrap our words around quite yet? I think that looks an awful lot like the sheep, the people of God, living out the kingdom of God. So I want to invite you to join me over the next couple of months in a time of prayer and of discernment. Where is God calling us, equipping us here at West Grove Church for just such a time as this? How is God calling us to move away from places of comfort where we could rest back on our laurels, to go beyond our walls and engage those who need to hear those words of hope the most, as we discern what shape this path will take? Let us give thanks to God who feeds us physically and spiritually, then equips and empowers us to feed others. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.